بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: إن عدة شهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم ذلك الدين القيم. صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أما بعد، honorable علماء، respected elders and dear brothers، Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite mercy and wisdom and knowledge gives superiority to whatever and whoever He wishes to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hours of day and night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given superiority to certain hours over the rest of the day and night. In the week, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted superiority to the day of Jum'ah. In the night preceding that, Laylatul Jum'ah, Allah has given preference and Allah has given superiority to this day and to this night over the rest of the days of the week and over the rest of the nights of the week. Amongst mankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given superiority to the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam over the rest of humanity and mankind. Amongst the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, Allah ta'ala has granted superiority to 5 of the prophets who are known as Ulul Azmi min al-Rusul, and that comprises of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, and our beloved and noble master Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amongst the Ulul Azm, Allah has granted superiority to the Imam of the Anbiya, the seal of the prophethood, the prince of Allah's creation on the day of Qiyamah, the best person to walk on the surface of earth, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amongst the angels, Allah has given superiority to 4 over the rest of the angels: Jibreel alayhi salam, Mikael alayhi salam, Israfil alayhi salam, Israel alayhi salam. Amongst the books and scriptures, Allah has selected 4 as the best and superior: Quran, Torah, Zabur, Injil. And in this manner, my dear friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite knowledge and wisdom chooses and grants to superiority to some over others. In the months of the Islamic calendar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected 4 months, which He mentions in this ayat, which I recited in the beginning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when He ordained the creation of the heaven and the earth, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the system of time, and the system of time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, He created 12 months, and of these 12 months, Allah ta'ala says, He sanctified and gave sanctity to 4 months. Minha arba'atun hurum. There are 4 months that have been sanctified and given preference over the rest of the months. And these are called Ashurul Hurum, the sanctified months in the Islamic calendar. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given sanctity to these months, it means that any good deed or virtuous deed that is done in these months, the reward is greater in the eyes of Allah ta'ala than a deed that is done outside of these months. And by the same token, any sin or evil or vice that is committed in these months is more severe in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than a vice or a sin or a transgression that is committed outside of these 4 months. Of these 4 months, Rajab is one, Dhul-Qa'dah is one of those months, Dhul-Hijjah is one of those months, and the very first month in the Islamic calendar, that is Muharram al-Haram, this month that we have entered, this is one of those 4 sanctified and holy months in which it is mentioned that virtues are multiplied and more greater than when it is done outside of these 4 months. Therefore it is said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose these months. He gave them rank, He gave them status. When Allah chooses something, it is in Allah's knowledge, Allah's wisdom, why He gives superiority to these things. Sometimes insan can understand the reasons. Sometimes it is beyond the comprehension of insan. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned regarding this month of Muharram that the fast of this month is such that it is superior to the fast of other months barring the month of Ramadan. And Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha says that of all the days in the year, I did not find Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so anxiously looking forward to the fast of 2 periods. One was the fasting of Ramadan and one was the fasting of Muharram, especially the day of Ashura. As we know, tomorrow, the 10th of Muharram, the day of Ashura, this is a day of fasting in the Islamic calendar. And the history behind this fast is that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in Medina and the occasion of the Hijrah, and the Hijrah also commenced, the Hijrah calendar also commenced with this very month of Muharram al-Haram. The Islamic calendar commences with this month. It is the first month in the Islamic calendar of Hijrah. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made Hijrah and he arrived in Medina, then he observed that there was a nation that was living in Medina. This was a nation who had a past scripture. They had a book of the past. They followed a Nabi of the past. They followed a Shariat of the past. And this was none other than the Jews of Medina, the Yahudis, the Bani Israel. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to observe their practices to see if there were any remnants of resemblance between their Shariat and the Shariat that was granted unto him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam observed that the Jews were fasting on this day of Ashura, and he inquired the reason. And in this is also a point for us of reflection. A point of reflection in this, that for the purposes of da'wat ilallah and to invite people to Deenul Islam, we have to know a little bit about their religious practices and so forth, so that we may make a comparison with Islam. And when we give them da'wat and we invite them to Islam, sometimes we look at commonalities to invite them, and thereafter we begin to show the superiority of Islam and why Islam has given a better way and a better manner of doing things compared to what they are doing. And in this manner, perhaps inshallah, people will get hidayat and people will see the light and they will come into the fold of Islam. The precedent and sunnah has been set by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to inquire, find out, why are they doing this? What is the reason for this particular practice? So, when the Jews informed him that we are fasting on this particular day, because in our records it is recorded that this is the day on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delivered our Nabi, Nabi Musa alayhi salam, and our nation, our predecessors, the Bani Israel, from the tyranny of Fir'aun, and the oppression and zulm of Fir'aun, and Allah destroyed Fir'aun, Allah drowned Fir'aun, and Allah gave salvation to Nabi Musa alayhi salam and his nation. So, in thanksgiving to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and commemorating that historic event, we express our gratitude and we fast on this particular day in order to express our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great historic event. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked this explanation and he appreciated their reason for fasting on this day. And he made an observation and he said, if the Jews are fasting for this reason, that Allah delivered Musa alayhi salam from the clutches of Fir'aun on this day, then nahnu ahakku bi Musa minhum. We are more deserving of Musa alayhi salam than them. We are closer to Musa alayhi salam than they are. We are on the original teachings of Musa alayhi salam, which they have discarded. Therefore, we are more deserving and worthy of fasting on this day than even the Jews. And from that time onwards, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba Kiram began to fast this day of Ashura. In fact, before the fasting of Ramadan was made compulsory in the second year of Hijrah, before that, the day of Ashura was the compulsory fast in the Islamic calendar. The compulsory fast of Ashura was later on replaced with the compulsory fasting of Ramadan. But the ulama state that although the compulsory fast of Ashura was abrogated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the istihbab and the preferability and the reward of fasting for Ashura still remains. And it was an established practice and sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba Kiram to fast on this day of Ashura. In fact, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went one step further and he said that we will fast on this day because of the reason advanced by the Jews. But we will not emulate them in that if they fast on one day, then we will fast on 2 days, yawman qablahu or yawman ba'dahu, one day before Ashura or one day after, to show that we are not like them and we do not follow their ways. We have our own distinct identity, we have our own ways, we have our own deen, we have our own practices, we have our own forms of ibadah and worship, and we are not imitators and copiers and followers of the Jews. So therefore, we will oppose them and we will fast either one day additional before or one day after. And it is for this reason the ulama state that it is undesirable, makruh, for a person just to fast on the day of Ashura without adding one day before or one day after. Therefore, those who have fasted today, alhamdulillah, they will fast tomorrow. And in this manner, they would have fulfilled the instruction and the command of Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If any person was unable to fast today, and he's intending to fast tomorrow on the day of Ashura, then we should add the additional day that comes after the 11th of Dhul-Hijjah, which will be the day of Friday, so that we can comply with this instruction and command of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Regarding the benefit and the virtue of the day of Ashura, fasting on the day of Ashura, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that it is an atonement and it is a kafara and a means of forgiveness of the entire sins of the previous year. All the sins of the previous year, reference here particularly is to the minor sins. The major sins are forgiven with tawbah and sincere repentance. The minor sins are forgiven automatically by fasting one day. 365 days of sins have been written off and wiped off by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a sacrifice of few hours, but a reward that is so great that the only time we will appreciate and value it is the day when our eyes close and we leave this world. Now regarding another valuable virtue or benefit of this day of Ashura is to spend generously on one's family on the day of Ashura. So there's two things. One is what we call roza, the fast, and rozi. Easy way to remember the two benefits. Roza on one side and rozi on the other side. So roza, the fast, inshallah we all will keep that fast. Although it is the long days of the year and the December month and days are very long, nights are short, hot also. Alhamdulillah, the weather held out for us, Allah shukr. So we must try to fast on these days, dear friends. The virtue is so great that only a person who's really helpless because of ill health or because of certain very difficult circumstances that he's unable to fast. Otherwise, Allah Ta'ala has given us so much of abundance of food and drink and comfort and luxury that there should be no reason why we should not be fasting. Allah give us all tawfiq. Now an additional benefit is that the person who spends generously on his family on this day of Ashura, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wassa'a Allahu alayhi, Allah will make spacious for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make barakah for him, blessing for him, barakah for him, abundance for him in his provisions for the balance of the year. As it is, we always are looking for ways and means to increase the barakah, to increase our sustenance, so we can have plentiful, and we are not short of anything, and we do not have to stretch our hands out to anyone, we do not need to ask anyone, we do not have to beg of anyone, we want to be independent, we want barakah, we want sufficient means, we want abundant means. These are the factors that Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has shown to us, that if you adopt these factors, among many other factors, this is one factor that will bring barakah in one's sustenance. So therefore, on this day of Ashura, we should spend generously on the family, buy a little bit more than what we normally buy, and whilst we are buying for the family, keep in mind the poor, keep in mind the needy, and we spend a little bit on the poor, we buy one grocery hamper and give to some poor person with this intention, that we, the entire ummah, is one family. We are one family. We are one Muslim brotherhood. وَإِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا and إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. We are all one brotherhood. We are one ummah. So we spend on some poor people and give them some, share with them. Allah Ta'ala will put barakah. This is what has been mentioned in the narrations of the Hadith Sharif. Nowhere is it mentioned in the Hadith Sharif that you must give a Muharram gift. Because this is now the talk that's coming up from time to time, and it's important to clear these things out before it becomes an entrenched practice and it becomes a innovation and a baseless custom and practice in our community, we rather cut it at the root. There is no mention that you must give gifts, Ashura gift and so on. People are asking the question nowadays, Mufti Sahib, must we give some gift to the children or sisters or brothers or relatives and so on Ashura day? There is no basis for all of this. It's only mentioned that spend generously on your family. It means that if you're buying certain amount of food stuff for them on a particular day, then buy a little bit extra. Add some additional things to them. Maybe some luxuries or whatever it is in terms of food stuff. That is all that is required. The concept of Ashura, Allah forbid, must not become a commercialized concept. Soon you'll find people having Ashura sales. I hope it's not happening already. Because people look for every opportunity to commercialize, capitalize. But this is not what deen is all about. We must not taint and slant the teachings of deen to our whims and to our likings. So therefore, keep it to what Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged and spend generously on the family. And inshallah, as a result of that, we will see barakah and blessings in our sustenance. Essentially, these are the two important practices of Ashura, the Roza and the Rozi part which I explained. These are the only two aspects of Ashura that have been mentioned by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and which has been transmitted to the Ummah. However, it is to be mentioned that though the day of Ashura is such a sanctified and holy day and auspicious day in the Islamic calendar, it is a tragic coincidence of history. It is a tragic coincidence of history that on this very holy and auspicious day, in this holy and auspicious month in which bloodshed and killing and fighting has been prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we find a very tragic event had taken place, and that is the tragic event of Karbala, in which the martyrdom of the grandson of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, took place. But remember that this was an after event. As I say, it's coincidental, a tragic coincidence, that his martyrdom happened on such an auspicious and holy day. But Ashura does not gain its significance because of Karbala. Because one person mentioned to me yesterday, and it was a moment of reflection and food for thought for me. He said that, you know, the children of today don't even know about Karbala because in Ashura bayans, no mention has been made of Karbala. Whether that is true or not, Allah knows best. But we should remember and we should ingrain this in our children as well, that the day of Ashura has its independent virtue, independent of any event that happened in the history of Islam. It has its independent virtue. And the martyrdom of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu has nothing to do directly with the virtue of Ashura. Because the Shahada of Hazrat Hussein and his martyrdom occurred in 61 after Hijrah. And this day of Ashura got its significance in the beginning, in the very early days of Hijrah. This was 61 years after that. So we should not mix up these things and we should not attribute significance to this day because of the tragic coincidence of the martyrdom of the grandson of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an. However, whilst we commemorate and we speak about the glorious chapters of the history of Islam, and we speak about the great and supreme and tremendous sacrifices and qurbani that has been made by the great sons of Islam, and it is by their shedding their blood and watering the garden of Islam with their fresh blood that Allah Ta'ala made this garden of Islam flourish. So we remember these qurbanis, we remember these sacrifices, we remember these acts of martyrdom, and we remind ourselves about the important lessons for us to be derived from there. Therefore, on that basis, from time to time, mention is made of the shahadat and the sacrifice of this great son of Islam, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an. So inshallah, in the next few minutes till the Isha Azan, we will speak a little bit about this incident, and we will look into who was this great personality of Islam. Unfortunately, many a times when the incident of the Shahada of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu is mentioned, a lot of facts and information is added into the incident or the story that has very little basis, or that may be, for that matter, very much fabricated and baseless. And very little is actually spoken about the person himself, about the personality himself. And this, in fact, is a great injustice to Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that only one aspect of his life is spoken about, and the rest of his glorious life is all forgotten, and it is overlooked like it is of no importance. Therefore, let us look at a brief biography of this great Sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu has the honor of being counted amongst the Sahaba and the companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regarding whom it is said, radiallahu ta'ala anhum wa radu an. For Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu was born in the lifetime of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his very name was kept by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his very tahneek, the chewing of that date and khajur that is done by the pious and placed in the mouth of a newborn child, so that the very first thing that goes down the throat of that child is the saliva and barakah of some pious person, so that the piety of that person will remain with this child for a lifespan. It is a sunnah practice to do this tahneek. And we should try to bring alive these sunnahs. We want our children to be pious. We want our children to be righteous. We want our children to follow the straight path. We are afraid of our children going astray. We are afraid of our children becoming the victims of all the fitna and facade of this zamana and age that prevails. Then we have to try to adopt every possible means to protect them, safeguard them, and to imbue them with virtue and goodness. And one of these practices is the practice of tahneek. All the pious personalities of the past, you will find somewhere, somebody did some form of tahneek, or they were blessed with somebody's du'as. Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, the great tabi'i, perhaps the greatest of tabi'is of this ummah. Regarding him, it is said that his tahneek was done by Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he was given a dua at the time of his birth by Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a beautiful dua, very comprehensive dua. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu made this dua for him. Allahumma faqqihu fi ddeen wa habibhu ila nas. Allah, give him the proper and true and correct understanding of Islam, and O Allah, make him beloved to the people. so that when he has got the understanding of deen on one side, and he becomes approved and beloved in the eyes of the people, then it will become easy for him to convey the message of deen to the people. So this was a practice to take the little ones to the pious and take their du'as and let them pass their hands over them and to take the barakah of the pious. This is something we should strive and endeavor to bring alive in our homes. Allah give us tawfiq. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself did the tahniq of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allahu Akbar. What a great privilege and honor for anyone, any human being in this world. That the saliva of the Imam of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, on which the whole universe may be sacrificed on one droplet of that saliva of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That saliva is the first thing to go in the throat and the mouth and the body and the system of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. His tahniq was done by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His name was kept by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Adhan in his mubarak ears was given by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And his aqiqah was performed by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What a great honor. His nana is the imam of the anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. His nani is Sayyida Khadija Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha. The first woman to come into the fold of Islam. And a woman of such great virtue and rank in the eyes of Allah and Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His father is Ali Haider, the lion of Allah, the fourth Khalifa of Islam, the son-in-law of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what to say of his mother, Allahu Akbar, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahli al-Jannah, the queen of all the women of Jannah, that is the mother. What an honor Allah had bestowed upon Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anha. That in every angle you look, he's blessed left, right and center with the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why it is said sometimes, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala used to go to Hajr Aswad and Multazam and used to hold on to the ghilaf of Kaaba and used to cry and make dua to Allah ta'ala that, Ya Allah, with what tongue am I going to be able to fulfill the haq of your shukr for all the bounties and blessings that you have showered upon me. He was born, my dear friends, on the 5th of Sha'ban, in the 4th year of Hijri. Year before that was his brother Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala was born. 1 year after that he was born. Grew up in the lap of the queen of Jannah, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. And in the tarbiyah of the ocean of knowledge and piety, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And under the watchful and loving eyes of the leader of the universe, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many a times Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come looking for his grandsons and he says, where's my beloved ones? And he used to refer to them as Rayhanati fi dunya wal akhirah. These are my flowers in dunya. These are my flowers. Where's my flowers, Hassan and Hussein? What love he had for his grandchildren. Many a times, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing salah, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala used to sometimes jump on his mubarak back, like children. Children are children, no matter who they are, they will be children. And Sayyidina Hussein and Sayyidina Hassan sometimes to jump on his mubarak back, because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not want to disturb their play or their fun, he used to remain in that state of sajda till they were ready to get off and they were tired and they got off. Until then, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not even get up from the sajda. And he would say, Sayyida Shababi Ahli Jannah fil Jannah. These are the two leaders of the youth of Jannah, Sayyidina Hassan and Hussein. And they would jump on the shoulders of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would carry them, and he would hug them, and he would kiss them, and he would shower them with muhabbat and love. In fact, it is narrated that once a Bedouin came, and he saw Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressing so much of love for his grandchildren and kissing them and hugging them. He said, I got 10 children, I haven't even kissed or hugged any one of them. He found it sort of strange and contrary to his way and thinking that you should show love to children. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam retort and remarked that if Allah has taken away rahmat and mercy from your heart, what must I do? Because this is the rahmat and mercy of Allah. To love one's children, to love one's grandchildren, to shower them with muhabbah, to shower them with love. This is the teachings, these are the value systems of Islam. These are the practices and teachings of Deenul Islam. So we find that from that tender age, he is in the sohbat and companionship of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taking the du'as of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One day Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifted his mubarak hands and said, Allahumma inni uhibbuhu. O Allah, I love Hussein. So Allah, you love him also and make him beloved in the eyes of the people also. And in that tender age of his, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu memorized a number of ahadith from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he even narrates ahadith from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly. One of the famous hadiths that are narrated by him, and this is regarded as one of the five most important hadiths in the collection of ahadith. Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullah alayhi collected 500,000 ahadith, and he said, out of these 500,000, I consider five of them to be the concentrate or the essence of all that 500,000. And amongst those five, he counted this one hadith which was narrated by Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, min husni islamil mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. The beauty of the Islam of a person is not to pay attention to those things that are not related to him, and to ignore the frivolous and useless and trivial things that have no relationship to him, to not to pay any attention to that, is a sign of the beauty of the Islam of a person. Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu also narrated that hadith in which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man qutila duna malihi wa man qutila duna nafsihi fahuwa shaheed. The person who dies in defense of his life and who dies in defense of his wealth and property, such a person is to be regarded as a shaheed in Islam. He was only 6 years and few months when the beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world. And after that, though he was just a little boy, a young child, but the same amount of love and adoration and respect was displayed by Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu towards Hussein and Hazrat Hassan and Hussein. And he used to say that you people have more preference and right over me than my own family, because you are the family of my beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the same happened in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to give more preference to the grandsons of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than his own son, Abdullah bin Umar. When a stipend had to be allocated to certain important personalities, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu fixed a stipend of 5,000 dirhams for Hazrat Hassan and Hussein, which was the stipend that was fixed for the people of Badr and Uhud. And for his own son, he fixed a stipend of 3,000. Always gave preference to these grandsons and the stars of the Ummah and these beloveds of the Ummah. Preference was always given to them. And the same happened in the time of Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he held them in the highest esteem, and they in turn loved these great personalities, and there was such a bond of love that existed between them that is unimaginable in our day and age, that such muhabbat and love could exist between people. Leave alone everyone else. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu enjoyed such a bond with Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which some of the distorted historic narrations by biased and prejudiced historians who have a certain hidden agenda to promote the ideology of a certain deviated and corrupt sect in Islam, they have tried to portray an image of the Sahaba-e-Kiram, a very, very, very unbecoming image, a very inappropriate image of the Sahaba and the relationship between Sahaba-e-Kiram, especially the relationship between Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Hassan and Hazrat Hussein and so forth. Whereas the reality of the matter is they enjoyed such a close relationship and such a bond that every year without fail, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to visit Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he used to be the honored guest of Hazrat Muawiyah, and Hazrat Muawiyah used to receive him with the greatest honor, and he used to shower him with gifts, and he used to honor him and show him the highest amount of respect, and there was a strong bond and love that existed between all the Sahaba-i-Kiram and all the companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A fact which is born, testimony of which is born in the Quran Majid itself, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ruhama'u baynahum. They have utmost raham and mercy and love and compassion and feelings for one another. When the Quran is saying it, how can anyone doubt the kind of relationship that existed between Sahaba-i-Kiram? Yes, they had differences of opinion. They may not have shared the same opinion about something, but that did not diminish the love and respect they had for one another. For example, normally it is said that Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu had differences of opinion on certain matters that resulted at one stage even in a battle between them. But despite that, when one of the enemy kings and the non-Muslim kings came to learn about this dispute, and he sent a proposal to Hazrat Muawiyah, and he said, Muawiyah, this is an opportunity for you to strengthen your hand over Ali and take over the government of the Islamic land. And I am ready to help you and assist you and back you up and provide backup for you with my forces. You move ahead and I am behind you to give you support. If it was us and we have our petty fights between ourselves, we would have jumped and said, yes, let me take the support from this person. But these were Sahaba. These were Sahaba. These were the students of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These were the disciples of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These were the people whose tarbiyat was done by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. And every one of them was radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhum. And every one of them was ulaika humul faizun, ulaika humul muflihun, ulaika hizbullah. Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu wrote back to him. And he wrote him such a harsh letter. And he told him, O Christian dog, how dare you try to capitalize between the differences between me and my brother Ali. This is our in-house problem. This is our problem in our own home. You have no right to interfere in our problem. And the day you dare to attack Ali, I will become an ordinary soldier in the army of Ali and I will fight against you. They did not allow anyone to capitalize on their own internal differences. They closed rank. Internally they had their differences, but they would never allow any outsider to exploit that situation. So my dear friends, the history of biography of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu is indeed a glorious biography. Much can be said about his life, but even more glorious was the death of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he stood by his grounds, he stood by his principles, he believed in his mission, and he set out to fulfill his mission, and in the process of self-defense, he was martyred in the plains of Karbala. It was a very brutal and and heart-rendering martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And that was a very dark chapter in the history of Islam. It's a very long, drawn-out chapter. There is no time to go into the details. But the lesson to be learned is not to go into the nitty-gritties of all the narrations, some of which, as I said, may be questionable and so forth. But what are the lessons to be derived? The lessons to be derived, again, he did not sit back on his laurels and say, I am Sayyida Shababi Ahli al-Jannah, I am the prince of all the youth of Jannah, I am the grandson of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I am the son of Ali and Fatima, so I got Jannat on the plate, and I got Jannat on the tray, and I got the golden spoon of Jannat in my mouth, so I don't have to do anything, I don't have to sacrifice, I don't have to move, I can sit comfortably, put in my place and just carry on with my life, and my ticket to Jannat is issued, and my entry into Jannah is guaranteed. No, dear friend, Sayyidina Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu was prepared to make the most supreme sacrifice that any human being can do, and that is to sacrifice one's life for the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the deen of Allah, and to give one's blood in order to water the garden of Islam so that Islam can flourish and so that deen can remain alive in this world. That is why one poet said it very nicely, Har Karbala ke baad Islam zinda hota hai. After every Karbala, Islam comes alive. Yes, the martyrdom of Hazrat Hussein was a tragic event, but it was not a setback for Islam, because that tragic event of Karbala led to a rejuvenation of Islam, and it led to renewal of Islam, and it led to the spread of Islam, and it led to the entrenching of Islam, and this is how the beautiful garden of Islam was watered. We say Allah Rabbul Izzat grant us also that jazba of Qurbani, that jazba of sacrifice, that jazba of making effort and working hard for promoting our deen, preserving our deen, conveying our deen. And may Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and ability to follow in the footsteps of these pious predecessors. Allah Rabbul Izzat grant us the love and muhabbat of these personalities, the azmat of these personalities, and for us to read about their lives, study about it, and try to implement and practice the glorious lessons that we learn from them. And we make dua that Allah Rabbul Izzat on the day of Qiyamah raise us with them and raise us amongst them and make us part of that glorious group. And may Allah Ta'ala through His fazl and through His mercy enter us into Jannah in that glorious group. Wa hasuna ulaika rafiqa wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.